We have been looking at the scriptures, the specific scriptures that we're building on is the one where Yeshua is on his way to Caesarea Philippi. He's with his disciples. He asks the questions to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And then he looked at them and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And then from scriptures, we are looking at and seeing that they testify of Yeshua HaMashiach. So, as we've been looking at the prophecies, we have 44 here. We still have 44 listed. That's good. I didn't lose any. So we have 44 listed, and we've been going through them very methodically and building on them, all concerning the suffering servant, as we're investigating this specific side of Messiah Yeshua, or who the Mashiach would be, and then seeing how Yeshua has fulfilled all of those things that needed to be fulfilled. So last week we ended up with the Mashiach was falsely accused. He was beaten with many stripes. His beard was pulled out. He was spat upon and violently oppressed. His crimes, he had none. So now let's move on to number 30 here. Number 30, which would be the Messiah, the Mashiach, who would be the anointed one of Yahweh to come, would be hated without cause. Hated without cause. We have Psalm 35, 19, Psalm 69, 4. And then in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, is John 15, 24 through 25. And then if we get to number 31, it's going to be Isaiah 53, 12, and Matthew 27, 38, and Mark 15, 27 through 28. So, if I remember last week, we started over here, so I'm going to start over here. George, if you would do me a favor, if you would read Psalm 35, 19, if you don't mind.
Okay, this is scripture.
But wait, I'm going to assign them first, and then we'll, and it doesn't matter the title of the book it's written in, as long as it's, it doesn't matter if it's in, okay? And then I need someone to read Psalm 69, 4. And I apologize, I don't know your name. JC, would you like to read for us tonight? Okay, if you'd read 69, 4 for us from Psalms, that would be great. And then Don, I'm going to bounce up to you to do John 15, 24, and 25. And then we're going to swing up on the front row, Mike, starting with Isaiah 53, 12, and going this way. So be thinking about that as we get there, okay? George, let's go over to your scriptures, which is interesting because I have my scriptures here. It's just called the Sefer. Psalm 35. Okay, and Psalm 69, 4. Okay, and then come over here to Don. Okay, the 30th revelation or prophecy that was going to be both there, revelation and prophecy, the prophecy was that they would be falsely accusing him and they would hate him, or actually hate him without cause. And so we see the prophecy and we see the fulfillment. But let's look at this a little bit closer. On page 3 of your notes here, as we look at the first question, let's walk through this together. The Mashiach would be hated by his enemies. What two actions would they exhibit to express their hatred to the anointed one? in the verses that we just had read to us, what two actions would they exhibit to express their hatred to the Anointed One? Do you notice the questions are a little harder now? Falsely accused, okay. They lied about him. What else? Okay, they did beat him, but that was not in the passage of Scripture we read. Okay, I'm just looking in the passage of Scripture. Come on, y'all can get this. Come on, you can get it. Everybody look at me. Okay, everybody looking at me? Aren't I good looking? All right. That wasn't the truth, right? What am I doing? What am I doing? Thank you. I'm winking. They winked at him. We got your back. What did I really say? Maybe I will, maybe I won't. It could be the opposite, right? So the second action, they physically were winking. How many of you see that and it just went right over your head? Okay, so his enemies in falsely accusing him were lying and they were winking. Okay, so what was the cause of their hatred? That's what he did, but what was the cause of their hatred? Okay, let's look at the passage of Scripture. Let not my lying enemies rejoice over me. Do not let those who hate me without cause. What did he do? Nothing. So what was their cause for hatred? There was no cause. No cause. Okay? The answers are in the verses. You've got to really look at the verses. Okay? Next question. Because of this, what did they have to do? There was no cause. They had to lie. They had to prefabricate stuff. And if you remember last week when we were looking at the false witnesses that came up, none of them were coordinated together in their lying. There was two that came close, and so they built up on that. But before that, their testimonies were all off the wall, and none of them could have a right answer or right testimony of what he had done wrong. So they had to lie, prefabricate, come up with stories about him in order to discredit him. Okay? Now, in a more difficult position, because I'm not actually looking at Scripture, I'm looking at what you know or what you think you know. Okay, so we got to work a little bit this in our minds. What does it mean to wink the eye? I'm trying to get you to think. I'm not saying I'm kind of playing the devil's advocate a little bit here, but I want you to think. Because if we don't understand this, we're going to miss some really interesting stuff here. Everybody's afraid to talk now. All right, let me give you what Gail Henry said in 1919 when George was there. He wrote these notes. Hi, George. I'm so glad you're here tonight, brother. So this is what Gail had to say. It began with G, so I figured you were there. In 1919, a wink is a facial expression made by briefly closing one eye. A wink is an informal mode of nonverbal communication, usually signaling shared hidden knowledge or intent. Doesn't mean that it has to be negative or bad. Okay, see, so often we think about it, we think of it as a negative or bad. It's just that there might be some hidden knowledge that can be shared. We often will say something and go, you know what I mean. The hidden knowledge, the intent. And so you do that little wink. It's a nonverbal communication. Just like when somebody says, I really like that dress you're wearing. So let me finish the definition. However, the meaning is often dependent on the situation where the expression was made and the relationship of the people that are in the whole mix. So what was happening when this winking was going on? Nothing good. So when it says that they were winking of the eye, there was nonverbal communication going on in the room as they were, you know, I know this isn't true, but I want you to pick up the same line and tell it with me. You know what I'm saying? This Yeshua guy over here, he's bad. You know what I'm saying? Come on, join me. And it was a nonverbal communication. So not only were they doing it verbally and attacking him, but nonverbally with their body actions, they were showing the disdain that they had for him and the disrespect that they had for him. And those are important things for us to understand. So does that mean that winking of the eye is always wrong or given to dissension? No. Winking can actually be a good thing, too, when you want to communicate something, but you can't say the whole thing. There's some good things coming. There really is. And you wink at someone else who knows what the good thing is, but you can't share it with someone. Yeah, man, I know what you mean. Yeah. See, you communicated without saying a word, and I got it. I can't say it, but that's what happens. So it's important for us to be careful not to label something as negative or wrong. It depends on the situation that it's in. Okay? So here are two verses in the scriptures that reflect the negative side of the winking eye. Proverbs 10:10 and Proverbs 6:12-13. So in Proverbs 10:10 it says this, he who winks the eyes causes sorrow. Another translation is trouble. So you notice I left that blank for you if you want to write that in. The negative side of it, he who winks eyes causes sorrow or causes trouble. But the foolish of lips shall be thrust away. Proverbs 6:12-13 says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth, winking with his eyes, speaking with his feet. I have fee there. Put a T in there, if you will, please. My computer does not know how to correct my errors. Speak with his feet and teaching with his fingers. So the question is, simply stating that if winking of the eye, that our body language, our actions, those are those three spots there. Our body, our language, and our actions will speak louder than words. Language doesn't always have to be verbal. It can be gestures with the hand. Now, I remember sitting in church as a young boy, and my dad was up front preaching. And I was always an angel. I never did anything wrong. The only time I knew I was doing something wrong is when my dad's eyes would get this big and he would be looking right at me and then he'd point. Didn't have to say a word. I knew afterwards was a board meeting. And since he was the chairman of the board, I knew I was in trouble. But there was communication, nonverbally. I remember also as a little kid being in the store, if I was kind of acting up or just bouncing off the wall, because, yeah, I'm an excitable little guy, my mother would give me that look. Wait till we get home. You know? Her jaw never moved. Her teeth were clenched together. And she didn't have to say words, but she normally would. But I knew just by the tension in her face, something was wrong. I thought she was having some kind of seizure or something. It wasn't that. You see, I'm going to go sidetrack on this for a moment. I can say I love you as my brother and sister. What does that mean to you? How do you know that? Just because I said it?
Your body language.
My body language? My actions prove that I care for you. I listen to you. I listen to the stories. I listen to the complaints. I listen to the joys. I listen to all the different things that are happening. I am concerned about you, so I ask you, Scott, how did it go on vacation? Did everything go well? Was it okay? I'm asking Mike, how did it go over at the new house today? Things go well? How can I pray for you? I'm asking how your car is doing. Is it fixed or is it still in the graveyard? It needs work. Mike, he needs help here. And so we make connections. See, you know that I care about you because I am engaged with you and I talk with you and I listen to you and my actions show it. But if I'm always so busy that I don't take time, and there's times that we can't stop, you know, if I'm on a mission and, I have to go do this. So I'm on a mission, I go do that. But if I'm not, I'm going to stop and I'm going to listen. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to stop at Home Depot, and I'm going to talk with my brother and that there. Even the funny-looking ones with hats on. You know, I'm going to go ahead and show that I care. Because the truth of the matter is, you may not see that third person coming up, and you're fellowshipping with someone else. That person could have not even bothered, but took the time to come. See, actions speak louder than words. I know with that connection and the action that was taken, and it was nonverbal. It was taking time out when you might have been busy and had to go get the part, but you take a few moments and sidetrack and segue into talking with somebody in fellowship and encouraging for the moment. See, actions speak louder than words. And here, when Messiah was being accused, it was not just the verbal. It wasn't just the verbal. It was as much the entire action. It was the disdain, the looks on their face, their body posture was saying everything was throwing up on Messiah Yeshua. That's what was happening. And it's important for us to remember, if we are going to emulate our Messiah, if we are going to be Christ-like, we have to find out how he behaved and how he acted, and then we are supposed to act the same way. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And everybody uses that and says, well, you can never be mad. That's not true. We're told not to hate. But then we're told to hate sin. Again, it's understanding the definition and pointing in the right direction. We can use that over and over and over and over again. When you are restoring a brother, you have to hit him hard with the sin so he can repent and know what he did wrong and get right with God. And you who are strong, make sure that you're restoring the brother or sister, not mutilating them and putting them in the grave spiritually. You're supposed to be there to lift them up and restore them. Be willing to mentor them. Be willing to pray with them. Be willing to cry with them. Be willing to hurt with them. Be willing to lose some sleep over them. Now, I know in a heartbeat, if my car breaks down and I'm on, let's say, Interstate 75. I'm way over there by Orlando, and I was heading north, and my car broke down, and I'm dead in the road, and I don't have AAA, so I'm not as fortunate as others. I can get on my phone, and it doesn't matter where he is. I know I can call on Don. Now, you guys can't. Don's for me, okay? Let's just get this straight. Not really. This guy has got a heart that is so big. If he can't, Mark will do it. If Mark doesn't, Kyle will do it. If Kyle doesn't do it, Peter, he'll find somebody, some way to reach out, because that's how we show our love, is in our actions. So if you say you love me and you're doing this, I question it. It's subliminal, but I'm questioning it. I'm going, it's surface love, maybe. And so I'm going to try to break that and show you how to do this. Because our body and our minds have to work in conjunction with each other. And you know, one of the fallacies that I see in the church today is that our mouth says one thing, but our actions are completely different. I can go to church after church after church after church, and we can go in and we can see the masses of people that are there, both of them. y'all ain't with me anymore. Both of them are in there, and I'm the only one who got it. Okay. So we go in, and we see these masses of people. And you see them all, you know, fellowshipping and talking. Now check up on them on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Are they the same person out there as they are in here? Some yes, some no. It depends. It depends on what the real person is. But by their fruits you will know them. And our job is to make sure that our fruit shines. That what we do matters for the kingdom. You're not doing it for each other. We all benefit from it. We all benefit when we can come along one another and encourage and lift one another up. And we all need that. And we all need iron sharpens iron. Why do you believe that? You know, check it out. Test the spirit, the scriptures tell us. Because HaSatan comes as an angel of light. He's a deceiver. He's going to come in and give you just enough truth, and it will be correct. It's truth. It's right. And then he'll say, but it only applies here, and he totally warps the whole thing. And any truth that has lie in it is still an untruth. It's a lie.
Does that mean you all have
truth? Absolutely. Yes. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you. That means me. That means Don. That means every single one of them. That means Tom, even though he's at the top of the pyramid. But he'll be one of the first ones to tell you that he's not perfect. None of us are. And we have to remember that. And we have to be humble. When our brother comes to us and says, I think you've done something wrong. Well, what did I do? I didn't realize I did that. Or I did that, and yeah, I was angry in the moment, and I did it, and I was wrong. Help me to make it right. But we don't like conflict. None of us do. I hate conflict. I have issues that I'm going through right now, and I just don't like it, but I know I have to deal with it. And you know what helps me to make decisions to do some of the hard stuff that I do in my life? You know what it is, Albert? As much as I don't want to have conflict with you as my elder, because I love you and I don't want to disappoint you and I don't want to hurt you, and so it's difficult for me to confront you. And if I have to, which I don't, I'm just using this as an illustration. Thank goodness all of a sudden it's relief here. What is Gary unloading on me now? If there was some kind of conflict that I had to come to you, and I'm really struggling with it, how am I going to do this? I ask myself a question. Do I address it with you, or do I address it with Yeshua when he asked me why I failed to do what was right? All of a sudden, I can face you. Because I've got enough on Judgment Day. If you get mad at me, you probably have a right to. Maybe not coming across right, or whatever. Whatever emotion or whatever context comes out of him, and if it's directed toward me, I would rather take that from him and have him reject me for the rest of his life than to be rejected by my Messiah on Judgment Day. So it's always right to do right. But we also have to do it in the right spirit, and when the Spirit leads. You do it outside of the will of the Spirit, it's like stirring up a cesspool. If you don't know what a cesspool is, I know where there is one. A cesspool is where all the sewage goes in. How many of you know the different sewer plants around here, right? You go down US-1 in Rockledge, you hit it on a nice hot day when it's really heavy and humid and there's no wind, and you're going down, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what is that smell? And I look at Tina, is that you? She was going, no, I thought that was you. There's a smell. But do you know, as long as you leave it alone, just let it set. But see, those are big turbines in there that are constantly turning and breaking it up so that they can refresh the water and send it out, you know, just 80% still dirty. But anyhow, if you don't stir it up, it's not going to stink. It's not going to stink as bad. So there's some things the Spirit of God says, I will take care of this. Leave it alone. But unfortunately, especially those of us that are melancholy, we have this thing in our mind called a video recorder. And we play the incident over and over and over in our mind in different scenarios of how we should address it. And so as it's building up in our mind, this little teeny thing that was just a little teeny sliver is now this log that's sticking out of your eyeball. You can't walk out the door without hitting the doorpost, because you've built it so much in your mind, and the other person has no clue of all the anxiety that you've built up in yourself, because you have just, instead of spending all that time praying and trying to give it over to the Father, because I got to be honest with you, Mike. Can I be honest with you? No, lie for me, right? Sometimes when I go to the Father and pray, and I say, Father, I'm giving this to you. And I give it to him. No, I take it back. It's like, I don't know why. And then I have to go, I really want to give this to you, God, but no. And then I take it back. I'm struggling with this flesh. I don't know, because you know what I want to do? I want to go over here and I want to take care of, I'm giving it to God, but I really want to take care of it myself. Because this idiot over here needs to be put in place. Right? Man, and so in the flesh I got all this going. I know. Right? Why am I picking on him? Because I love him. He's my brother. What? You see, you're all laughing because every one of you have done the exact same thing. And every one of you struggle with taking it back. I'm no different. Just because I sit up here and I get to orchestrate the choir here, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, like anybody else. But my position says I have to present this to you. So when we look at what they did to Messiah, I have to ask us the questions who say that we are believers in Messiah Yeshua. How many times with our bodily actions and the things that we do, do we reject Messiah? Or do we violently attack him because of our actions or inactions, because we didn't do something and we were supposed to? If we really say that we believe in Yeshua, and I mean really believe it. The word believe is a verb, and it means that you have action behind what you believe. I believe my car will take me home. But when I leave here and Mitchell locks the door, and I have to leave, and I walk by my car and said, I believe you will take me home, but just in case you won't, I'm going to walk. I'm taking the safe road. I'm taking the high road. I believe my car will do that, but... And sometimes that's spelled with two T's. Our own butt gets in the way. If we really believe, then we need to trust as well and get in the vehicle, take the key, start it up, and drive. Our faith is the same way. Our belief is the same way when we put our trust and faith in the Creator of the universe who said, I breathe life into you, I give you life, and I will take it at the appointed time. When you realize and you look in the mirror that you cannot stop one hair from turning gray, you cannot stop one wrinkle from coming, maybe one or two, maybe, because when you get fat and then you shrink, it get wrinkled. But you know what I'm saying, right? There's things about you you can't change. I can look in the mirror all day long and pretend my eyes are brown. Just ain't happening. I can look in the mirror all day long and say I'm the same color as Lester is. What can I change about my body? Can I change how high I am? You notice I said how high I am and not how? Yeah. Can I change how wide I am? Kind of, sort of. I can't really change the bone structure. I can put more fat on. No, I didn't say I wanted to. I said I could. But I can't really change my physical, as much as I would like to stop aging, Can I stop from aging? Albert, how's that working for you? And that's not picking on him. Every single one of us is aging right now. You're a second older than you were a second ago, but that's 5 seconds ago, which is now 7 seconds ago. And every time I talk, it's 10 seconds now. You are older than you were 15 seconds ago. And what could you do about it? Nothing, but the creator of the universe can change all that and give you a brand new body that has no pain, that does not age, that will never suffer, will have no sin in it at all. That's the God that we look to. And in the interim, until we get into his presence and go through the fiery furnace and the purging of all that, he requires of us to keep his 10 words, to be faithful to his instructions, and walk out our faith life so it looks like Messiah Yeshua, who said, I've only come to do the will of my Father. So everything that I do should be to bring glory and honor to the Father. End of story. Because there's nothing else I can do. But I can do that. That's my part. Like a car, it's just going to sit there. God's truth is there until I get in it and activate it and ask the Holy Spirit to guide me. I'm not going anywhere. He's not going to force you. He's not going to make you. He will be after you, chasing you, loving you, knocking you. He will put you flat on your back so you can recognize him. But he's not going to force you and say, you better, you better, you better. He's already given you the consequences. I am offering up to you today blessings or curses. And the eternal one is, if you accept me as Yahuwah, Yahweh, Elohim, the only true God, you will be part of my family. If you reject me, you'll be totally lost and left out and brought to utterly destruction. You'll be destroyed and brought down and end the second death. So do our actions matter? Do what we do matter? Are we even keeping some of the very simplest of Torah instructions? Helping the widows, the orphans, the homeless. Are the people in the fellowship that may be struggling and need help? Are we there to help them when we can? Sometimes we can't. And it's difficult, especially if you're working during the week and something's happening and you just can't get off to help somebody. But if the times match up, and you should be there to help. We're supposed to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if all you do is hear it and you don't live it, what are you? What? That's a scripture. That isn't me. And I'm preaching to myself. I'm just sharing what's on my heart. As I went through this lesson, I'm going, I don't like this lesson. Because every time I have a bodily action, the winking of the eye, I'll help, but I can't. I'll do this, but I don't. Oh, didn't Yeshua teach about that one time, about one brother who said, yeah, I'll help you in the field, Dad, no problem. And the other one said, not today, Dad. Party day, I'm going to go party. Can't do it today, Dad. Then he got feeling bad, and so he went and helped his dad. The other one said, I'm going to do it, just said, I'll get to it. I'll get to it later. And never did it. Which one honored the father? So even if you haven't done anything lately, and this message is resonating with you a little bit, and you know you need to do more in your faith walk, so I'm already too busy. Yeah. Are you so busy doing things that you're not doing things that the Father wants you to do? Then if you're not doing things that the Father wants you to do, then you're doing things that someone else is orchestrating for you to do. Someone's buying all your time. Someone's confiscating all your time. Someone's eluding you with all these things that you're doing, so you're not doing the Father's will. Who do you think that would be? How dare you say that in here?
I dared.
You dared. Amen right there. You see, we have authority in Yeshua's name to say, HaSatan, get out of here. You have no right to be in here. This is Yahweh's house. We are His children. You have no place here. There's no room for spirit of division. There's no room for people leaving unless they got to go to the bathroom. There's no... Scott, you knew I was going to say something, right, brother? And this is one of my most beloved brothers right there. We have authority in Yeshua's name. We have weapons of warfare. And when you read the scriptures, it doesn't say to polish it and showcase it. It says put on. And if you're mature in the Lord, that means you're putting it on. If you're a baby, someone else is putting it on for you. But that isn't what Scripture says. You are to put on the armor of God so that you can wield the Scripture of truth to be a warrior. Not to just, oh, look at my pretty sword. Isn't this so pretty? God gave this to me. I got my own sword and then put it back in the sheath and do nothing with it. And what does it say about the enemy? He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Oh, look at my pretty sword and then put it back. What's that lion going to do to you? You are an hors d'oeuvre. He will eat you up and spit you out so fast. Because that's exactly what he wants to do. Destroy you. And if he can't... You know, most people think, well, he's trying to kill me, Don. The enemy is trying to kill me. He doesn't want to kill you. He just wants to maim your testimony, make you look bad. You know why Christianity has a bad name? Because all the pastors that have done bad things, because all the deacons that have done bad things, because the wolves in sheep clothing that have come in and caused division, and those of us in leadership haven't taken a stand, and so we have been wimpy. There's a bunch of little comic books out there about the little wimpy guy. That's a lot of the pastors and elders out there. We're wimpy because we're afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. You know, I don't want to hurt his feelings, but if I have to stand up for truth, I'm going to stand up for truth. But, yes, it's all of us. And this is something that we have to learn. I know this is going off track. But if you see something happening in the fellowship you know is wrong, you are to go to your brother and sister. You are to go to them. And you are supposed to be the one to confront them. Don't go to leadership and dump it on them. You saw it, you deal with it. You go up and ask them. And if it blows up in your face, then you know that there was a real problem there and something has to be done. See, the protection of the family isn't just for the guys that are up here, the gals that are in positions. We're here so that we can facilitate the family and help it. But it's everybody's responsibility to watch out for their brother. What did Yahweh say to Cain? Where is your... What was Cain's response? What do we say in church today? So many people in the church say, well, that's not my problem. I'm not going to deal with it. I know there's something wrong over here. I have odds and ought against this, but I'm just going to let it go. You know what that is? That's a fiery dart from the enemy that's coming between you and causing tension. And it's causing division. And it becomes a wedge in between us. So on the surface, I'm going, I like you. I really do. I love you with all my heart. I do. Trust me. And then behind their backs, we say, you know, I have all I can do to tolerate him. I have all I can do to tolerate her. They are so different than I am. They're quirky, they're odd, they're just weird people. And I just don't know how to relate to them. And so we start looking down at them. And we put them in a place that they ought not be, because we have no authority to put them there. But we do that so often. You see, it comes right back to this prophecy where they were going to do this to our Messiah, and we would be able to identify that. So in the church, we need to wake up. In the true body of fellowship of believers, we need to make sure that our actions are speaking louder than our words, so that you know when I do say I love you, or if I don't say I love you, that my words are screaming it even louder. That if you know if there's a brother or sister you can go to, it's that person, it's that person, it's that person, it's that person. You know. And you know that there are people in this fellowship that are like that. You look at them every week. Do they have up days and down days? Every one of us do. Every single one of us do. But for the most part, you can always count on these certain people are going to have a smile on their face. They're going to be there for you. They're going to shake your hand. And it doesn't matter what seems to be going on in life. They're always that type of person. And you know what? Oh, let this just, may the Ruach just flood you with this. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. What do you think he wants with you? Nothing's changed. He wants to walk with you in the garden. The new Jerusalem coming down, that new garden coming with the tree of life in its midst. He's doing that for us. Because he don't need it. He doesn't need a place to park. We do. We need him. He doesn't need us, but he wants us anyway. That's powerful. So why wouldn't we want to have our actions showcase that we really love him? And Scripture says, they will know that you are my disciples by the way you beat each other up. You are wrong! You are wrong! You're saying the name wrong! Don't you laugh. This isn't funny. Don't you even blame it on him. That's just not right. Have you seen some of this on the YouTube? With they beat you up. You didn't say his name right. You're going to hell. You're not reading from the right Bible. You're going to hell. You did this. You're out of here. To my what? My pant loops. I've desecrated them. You wear tzitzit so you don't fit. You don't wear tzitzit so you don't fit. Who's judging who? We're judging each other. Why would the world want to be a part of us? I wouldn't. In fact, I don't. I don't. I spend as much time yelling at my computer because of my brothers that are on there. Doing the things they're doing, I've had to replace three. No! No, I don't do that. I'm just kidding. We are not supposed to be that type of believer. Henry, I can disagree with you. I may not, you know, you may believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. Someone else over here already doesn't. You could allow that to be a wedge between you, and how Satan loves that. You know what I'm going to say? When he shows up, we'll know it. That's what I know the Scripture says. He says, I'm coming, and when I'm coming quickly, and you best be ready, because you don't want to be one of those five virgins that's left behind. Now, I don't care how else you want to package it. Pre, mid, post, in between, all around, upside down, beginning, pre-wrath. I don't care how you package it. I don't care where you put it in your theological line of reasoning. All I know is he's coming back. And he said, behave rightly. Because when I come, I want you to be virgins that are ready. You know what virgins means? Pure. What does that go back to? being pure and righteous and holy. And you only do that is when you're walking in His Word and you're following His instruction. Whew, I got preachy tonight, didn't I? And I'm not apologizing. I just share in my heart. So we'll get to number 31 next week. And we'll answer some of those. Well, let me make sure that we did all the questions here.
No.
Okay, thank you. According to Psalm 69:4, what cause did they have to do and to have such hatred for Mashiach? Because we know that is none. Oh yes, this one here I wanted to just bring out quickly. What interesting nuggets do you find in the passages found in John as Yeshua Himself spoke about fulfilling the prophecy made in the Scriptures? And let me reread John just so we can have that fresh on our mind. John 15, 24 and 25. If I do not do the works among them which no others did. If I did not do the works among them which no other did, they had no sin, but now they both have seen and also have hated me and my Father. But that it may be fulfilled in the word that has been written in the Torah, they hated me without a reason. So my question was, and there's probably more than two, but there was two that I really wanted to point out. What interesting nuggets do you find in the passage found in John as Yeshua Himself spoke about fulfilling the prophecies made in Scripture? The first thing is, He included the fact that they hated Him, they also hated the Father. That's important for you to know, that any time you do anything in action or speech against the Son, you're also doing it against the Father. Why? Yeshua said, I came to do whatever I wanted to do. Not at all, right? I came to only do the will of my Father. So if you're slandering Him, you're slandering the Father. If you're doing something that's against what Yeshua told us to do, you're doing against the Father because He only is doing the will of the Father. The other thing that I found interesting that could slip by us if we don't really look close, and as Torah observant people, it's important for us to always have a mindset of the whole Word of God as we're looking at Scriptures. So when John is talking here, you've got to remember, he is a Hebrew. He was with Messiah Yeshua. He knew the instructions that were in the Tanakh. And so as he's recording these events of Yeshua and what was going to take place and how it took place, it's important to see that as Yeshua is sharing here, if I did not do the works among them, which no other person has ever done, no one's ever done this, what was he doing? He was doing everything that no one else could do, and that was keeping the Torah. He was showing the signs and the wonders that was prophesied. So he was keeping the law. He was keeping the instructions the way that they were supposed to be kept. And in other words, in keeping the Torah and keeping the law, the others, because they came against him, they were saying he was doing wrong, they became lawless, therefore they were sinning. Sinning means, if we remember our passage of Scripture, what is 1 John 3:4, where it says, what is sin? It's lawlessness. So he's saying here that these men, as they were acting out, they saw all the good that he was doing. They saw his actions, they saw his deeds, all the things that he was doing. No one else could be perfect like he was. They threw Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, teachers, everybody tried to trick him and trip him up. Not one could. When they put him in a place in which there was no answer, Don, you'll like this one. There was no way for him to answer the question without putting somebody on the spot. If he answers this way, they will attack him from this point. If he answers this way, he attacks. So he says this, I will tell you under what authority if you can tell me where you get your authority. Wah, wah, wah. Exactly. So when he was putting it back and said, okay, you say this about John the Baptist, where did he get his authority? You tell me that, and I'll tell you where I get my authority. Every single time they tried to corner him, every time they tried to put him in a box, they couldn't do it. So the things that he did, notice this is the works that he did, everything that he did, John's showing, if I had not done these works, they wouldn't even known that they were sinning because they were going against everything that the Son of God was doing. What a nugget of truth here. I mean, when you look at it, this is huge. And because he was faithful and true to his Father and keeping everything the Father had for him to do and live in a perfect life, he became the perfect Lamb to die for us. And he is the perfect King who sits on the throne. And he has the scepter in his hand. He is ruling as King of Kings. Now, he's not on earth yet. HaSatan is still allowed to be the prince of power of the air to do the work. That is, for whatever reason, there's a time period in which he's going to be allowed to do that. But when the Father says, it's time, make sure you're on the right side of the battlefield. Make sure you're with him and not against him. Make sure that your actions speak louder than your words. Okay, I'm done for tonight. We'll pick up next week.